Imagine pushing through a grueling race, fighting fatigue, distractions, and obstacles, yet pressing on to the finish line. That's exactly what the author of Hebrews is talking about in chapter 12. We're not alone in this race of faith. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, people of faith who've gone before us, cheering us on. But here's the question: how do we run this race well? And how do we endure when it gets tough? Let's learn.
For 2 years, Rick Hansen, a paraplegic athlete, literally circled the globe in his wheelchair to raise awareness and support for spinal cord research. Reporters periodically provided photographs of Rick. He's battling through burning heat, pouring rain, winter blizzards on steep roads over mountain ranges, and then rolling through small towns along the way where no one seemed to notice him. His hands became thick with calluses, his legs bruised, his back blistered, but he continued on. Well, finally, the news reported that he was going to begin the final leg of his journey that would bring him back to where he started there in Vancouver, British Columbia. To his surprise, people had gathered along the highway to cheer him. As he rolled into town, policemen on motorcycles pulled up to ride alongside him. Others in wheelchairs joined him, rolling behind him like a legion of charioteers. Well, Rick wheeled his way toward the stadium where he'd planned to complete his journey, and he'd hoped for a few reporters, you know, to be there. But instead, the arena was packed with people, including political leaders from around the world, television crews, reporters. It was May 23rd, 1987. And as Rick glided out onto the stadium track, tens of thousands of people erupted, cheering, blowing horns, shouting. The celebration was incredible. I got to tell you, I personally picture that scene as we arrive today in our wisdom journey to this rather thrilling passage in Hebrews chapter 12. Here's what the author writes, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Well, this cloud of witnesses here refers to the people of faith mentioned back here in chapter 11 that we sailed through rather quickly. These are the saints of the past who are now cheering us on. Now, beloved, that doesn't mean they're witnessing our every step, you know, through other passages and scriptures. However, we do know that believers in heaven have some knowledge of what's happening on earth. By way of angels, they presumably know when a sinner is saved. We learn in Luke chapter 15. They have general knowledge of other events on earth, such as when the future Babylon will fall, Revelation chapter 19. Now, in this context here, the faithful in heaven aren't witnesses of us. They are witnesses to us. In other words, they're our examples. They're showing us that we also can successfully run our race of faith, no matter how challenging it might be. Your race of faith, by the way, isn't about how fast you run or who finishes first. In fact, you're not competing with other Christians. This race is unique to you. It's all about reaching the finish line, faithful to Jesus because of God's grace. Well, then the question is, how do we run our race well? Well, the author says here we need to lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. The word here for weight refers to an impediment. It's something that slows you down. Here it describes anything that distracts, anything and everything that hinders your spiritual progress, even what might be considered good things by others in your life. I remember a young couple telling me one Sunday morning they had decided to follow Christ with absolute total commitment. They had stayed up the night before until about 2 o'clock in the morning, throwing away books and magazines and music. They emptied all their alcoholic beverages in the sink. They unsubscribed to online media sites. They literally ridded themselves of everything they could think of that didn't help them run their race of faith for Christ. Beloved, this couple shouldn't be an exception. They ought to be the rule. Well, the author also says here to lay aside that sin which clings so closely. I believe this is that unique sin that tempts you most. It sort of chases after you as you run your race. We need to resist this sin by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we fall prey to it, well, let's be quick to confess it, get back up, and start running again. Now, our model runner is Jesus Christ himself. Verse 2 describes him here as the founder and perfecter of our faith. In other words, he's both the object of our faith and the perfect example of our faith. And look at the race he ran. We read here that he endured the cross, despising the shame. By the way, keep in mind, he wasn't complaining all along the way either, and that's because we read here of the joy that was set before him. He endured this race because the goal line was sitting at his Father's right hand with great joy. In other words, stay focused on the goal, beloved. Your Father's house is just ahead. Verse 3 here says that this will keep you from growing weary or faint-hearted. You see, you can grow weary in the race, just don't grow weary of the race. Now here in verses 5 and 6, the writer quotes from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and chastises every son whom he receives. The term here for discipline refers to training a child. It involves both instruction and correction. So God isn't trying to crush us. He wants to encourage us. He got us in a training program so that we can eventually face the suffering and persecution while running the race of faith. And just remember, verse 6 tells us that God's discipline reminds us that he loves us. He corrects us because he loves us, just like a loving parent disciplines their child for running out into the street. God's discipline reminds us of what's best for us. Ultimately, verse 10 says that we may share his holiness. So discipline trains us and corrects us and equips us, verse 11 explains, to yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Now, verses 12 through 17 is a list of exhortations. It's kind of like a coach reminding his team how to run well. Verse 12 says, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees. In other words, concentrate on your spiritual posture, your spiritual attitude, so to speak. Verse 14 adds, strive for peace with everyone and for holiness. In other words, don't spend any time arguing with other people. That's only going to slow you down. Now here in verses 18 through 24, we're given a contrast between Mount Sinai, where the law was given to Moses, and the heavenly Mount Zion, or as verse 22 calls it, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. This eternal city is our final goal. This is the celestial city of Pilgrim's Progress. This is our arena. And that one in Vancouver, British Columbia, as great as it was, can't compare to the celestial city. Now, in contrast to Mount Sinai, which verse 18 describes here as a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest, well, we have a description here in verses 22 and 23 of our heavenly city. Well, it's populated with angels and the assembly, which is the church. The firstborn here refers to believers during the New Testament church age. They're going to be joined, he writes further here, by the spirits of the righteous made perfect. That's a reference to the Old Testament believer. So believers of all ages will one day be in the presence of God celebrating in that celestial city. Now, in the meantime, here's a challenge to keep in mind here in verse 25. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. In other words, let's not ignore the word of God today. And as we learn it, well, let's live it. Well, now the rest of this chapter centers around a quote from the prophet Haggai about a time yet to come when God will literally shake the universe as Jesus Christ returns to set up his millennial kingdom on earth. We have nothing to fear, beloved, of that day. As we run our race of faith, we're looking forward, verse 28 tells us here, therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, recognizing that our God is a consuming fire. So as we run our race with reverence for our holy God, with a passion for personal holiness, with joy in our hearts over that coming kingdom, that day when we roll through those city gates and we hear the cheering of those who've gone on before us, welcoming us to our heavenly home. Can you imagine that day? Well, as you run your race today, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and this is The Wisdom Journey. This lesson is called, How to Run the Race with Endurance. As you run your race, remember that God's love and discipline guide you. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. And don't forget, your finish line is the eternal kingdom that can't be shaken. We'd like to help you strengthen your faith as you strive to walk wisely through life. That's why we launched a tool on our website to answer questions that you might have about the Bible or the Christian faith. The website you're going to want to visit can be found at wisdomonline.org/ask. Once you're there, you can type in your question about the Bible. The tool on that page is going to search all of Stephen's teaching. If Stephen talked about the question you have, you're going to get an immediate answer. In addition, you're going to get a link that'll take you directly to the message where Stephen discussed the question you have. No question is too big or too small. You can ask a practical question about how the Bible applies to your life, or a theological question to explore the depths of biblical truth. Ask away at wisdomonline.org/ask. Thanks for joining us today. Please come back next time to continue traveling through God's Word on the Wisdom Journey.